Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show here today. And it is Tuesday, August 24th, 2010 here. And we've got a lot of stuff to talk about and get through today. And let me just get this. There we go. There are a lot of things going on here. Our phone lines are open, 800-313-9443, 313-9443. And if you're trying to get into us over the whatreallyhappened.com website, yes, we did have a little bit of a problem yesterday. And we are still dealing with that. It's a DNS goof. No, we were not taken down by the UFO people or anything like that. Please stop sending hate messages to DirectNIC. It's not their fault. We were doing some system administration stuff, and we broke the page. It's coming back now, and everything will be fine by the end of the day here. Now, I want to start off today talking about the economy. Generally, as I mentioned yesterday, the economy is really the most important thing in all of our lives right now. We're going through another Great Depression, and you need to understand something about these words that they will use to convey the severity of what is going on with the economy. In the past, they were using words like crash, and they were using words like recession because they didn't want to use the word crash any longer. And they keep trying to come up with new words so that you don't carry that negative baggage. The media doesn't want to use the word depression because we all know what depression means. We've got memories. We've got photographs of what depression means. So they said, we'll call it a recession this time. It sounds kind of gentle and not quite as bad. And people go around saying recession. Okay, I guess that's not going to be as bad as a depression. But we all know the numbers. You know, close to 25% unemployment. And we have the other issues like that, where we're seeing like a, you know, 27% plunge in home sales once the government subsidies have been cut out. The jobs are not coming back. The manufacturing isn't coming back. We're in a serious, serious situation here, and they're trying to find words. They're still trying to use the word recovery, even though it should be obvious to everybody there isn't one out there. There is no recovery. And I wish they'd stop using the word, but they're going to go on doing it. But who knows? Maybe the next time there's one of these, they'll call it a shrunk or a fizzbin or whatever. They keep changing the words so that you don't carry forward the recollection of what it means to have a serious economic downturn. But even some of the people in the media are starting to say, yeah, the duck test applies. It looks like a depression. It smells like a depression. It sucks like a depression. Yeah, it's a depression. And calling it recession or whatever else isn't going to change that fact. We're in serious, serious situation, and the reality is the government doesn't know how to fix it, or they don't want to fix it. We've got Obama out there again talking about a new bill, a new a recovery act. And you know something? I really wish they'd stop doing this, because everything that they have done over the last couple of years just makes matters worse, and it's a very simple reason. Every time the government passes a bill to help the American people, they'll take a dollar from you, they'll hand you back 50 cents, and then they can't figure out why the economy continues to deteriorate. The founding fathers had a little bit of wisdom. That government governs best, which governs least. Please stop tinkering. Stop tinkering. The more the government tinkers, the worse things get. Just the regulatory compliance with all the economic laws and tax codes and all the rest of it, we're drowning. We're dying from the paperwork. We're dying. We're suffering the death of a million paper cuts, because the government can't pull back from tinkering. And everything they do is making matters worse. We're going to take a break. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
Help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman. and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling Total Transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The Total Transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program, use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Some are maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. I'm trying to balance some levels here from front and back so that everything is there. We're going to go to the phones. Thomas in Sweden. Aloha, Thomas. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Aloha, Michael. Actually, I wanted to say something nice about Islam, but I found your site. The only thing is they've stuck it up on whatreallyhappened.org.
We actually have the .org, the .net, and the .com domains all registered to us. And as I said at the top of the show, this is a DNS goof. There's nothing nefarious. Nobody is sabotaging us. Actually, my fault. You know, this is what I get for doing DNS maintenance really late at night when I'm half asleep. And, you know, it was just an administrative change. And I made a mistake and accidentally deregistered my own website. And it's amazing. It's all over the net. It's all over Twitter and Facebook and everything. I'm running around posting on people. So calm down. It's just a simple goof. You know, the Mossad did not kill me last night and everything. And everybody's got to relax and calm down. It is just an engineering problem, and it's fixed. And as you know, anything with DNS takes a little time to kind of work its way through the system. And eventually, you know, certainly by tomorrow morning, everything will be back to normal.
Okay, can I say something nice about the people who practice Islam?
If you feel strongly about it, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, because I've been hearing a lot of things on the radio about, oh, Muslims this and the mosque business and the whole everything. I have friends who are ordinary Muslims, and then I have friends who are very devout Muslims. And anytime they refer to, let's say, Jesus, for example, they say, peace be upon him and his mother. And if I remind you about when the Jews were thrown out by Isabella in 1492 from Spain, where did most of them seek refuge? They sought refuge in the Arabic countries.
Yeah, well, that's actually family history in my case here. But, you know, the bottom line is throughout history. And if you think about it, you know, Jews, Christians, and Muslims were all religiously the children of Abraham. And just as time goes on, everybody says, oh, I've got a better bead on what Abraham meant. No, you didn't. And they split up and split up and split up. And it's basically arguments over that collection plate. But throughout history, Jews and Christians and Muslims have been able to get along just fine, engage in commerce and live their lives. It's just these occasional tyrants and fanatics and these child molesters in the funny-looking robes who just get it into their head that they can grab all the people who are following their particular faith and just use them as spear fodder to go out and conquer other people's lands. When you talk about all of the holy crusades into Jerusalem, what it was really about was controlling that that trade route. The reason Jerusalem and that whole part of the Eastern Mediterranean was so important had nothing to do with Jesus and Muhammad and Abraham. It had everything to do with the fact that that was the route by which goods from Africa were able to reach Europe and Asia. All of that wonderful little opium that was even back then growing in Turkey went down through Jerusalem on its way to Egypt. You know, that's why, you know, when Jesus was waiting for the cops to show up, his disciples kept falling asleep in the garden. You know, come on, guys, wake up, the centurions are coming. You know, Dave's not here. And, so it's all about the money. And religion is a really good way to get people to go out and kill other people without paying them what the job is really worth. And they say, oh, God wills it, and we'll do this, and we'll do that, and you'll get into heaven. As a matter of fact, when the popes were cranking up this whole idea of holy war, they said, yeah, if you go out and you kill a whole bunch of those Muslims, we'll let you into heaven, and it doesn't matter what you did. So it's a sort of get-out-of-jail-free card. And it's basically exploiting the religious beliefs to create armies to go and conquer territory and wealth. And even George Bush, when he was trying to crank up these wars, he talked about the new crusade. And with, you know, Israel trying to basically trick the United States into more wars on more of Israel's enemies, they're at the forefront of fanning this whole idea that we're supposed to hate the Muslims. And it's absolutely nonsense. It isn't the individual Muslim or Jew or Christian who is the problem. It's these nutcases running around claiming that this invisible man who lives in the clouds and talks to nobody but them, and nobody can see this invisible man, telling them to go kill a bunch of other people, those are the problem. And those are the ones that we should be watching out for. But, I mean, the bottom line is the world's Muslims are not responsible for the crimes of Al-Qaeda, whoever Al-Qaeda turns out to actually be. The world's Jews are not responsible for the crimes of the government of Israel, any more than the people of America are not responsible for the crimes of the American government. What we're dealing with, what all of this headache and heartache and suffering and poverty and death is coming from, are acts by governments, not acts by people. You know, this idea, this propaganda that the Muslims hate us for our freedom, that's absolute nonsense. People love to be free. It's governments and religious leaders that hate your freedoms and want to find some excuse to take them away. Oh, you can't do this. You know, you'll go to the dark regions. You know, the gods want you to give us 10% of all your money so that we can build these wonderful little temples here and have a nice little choir full of, you know, very young boys to play with and everything. Or you'll get to go to the bad places. It's all about controlling other people. And ultimately, they're is that large portion of the world that wants to be free, just to live their lives peacefully. And then you've got that small group of people who are absolutely convinced they're supposed to be in charge of it all. And every time you get these people who think that they're supposed to be in charge of it all, and they start accomplishing their goal, that's when you see major wars, famine, pestilence, all of the evils of humankind's history all come from these individuals who use religion or politics or any other lie they can come up with to trick us into killing each other. We really ought to stop. We are smarter than that. We're better than that.
I can tell you something nice here. We have a lot of refugees here in Sweden from various wars throughout the world. And first of all, the children start playing together, and then there's contact between the parents. And I almost have a lump in my throat when I say this. We really get along quite well here. People of all different colors and all different religions. It's real nice.
Okay. I'm sorry. I was momentarily distracted trying to deal with some of the technical things we've got coming up here. I got a lot of emails yesterday talking about not believing in an afterlife and a heaven or a hell as described in the various religious scriptures. And somebody just, I might as well get it out there now. I am, in fact, an atheist, and I have very good reasons to satisfy myself that there are no gods, that religion is simply a very old, primitive form of social control and exploitation and enslavement. And we're seeing it again today. They're, you know, if they can't convince you that Iran is a nuclear threat to the United States, they're trying to basically bring up and say, oh, they're Muslims. You should want to kill them just because they're Muslims. And we should be aware of that. I mean, that's Hitler did the same thing in Germany, only he targeted the Jews. Read your 1984 by George Orwell. Every government that is oppressing its own people and enslaving them and impoverishing them and exploiting them and just using them up in order to avoid feeling the wrath of the enslaved population, they've got to come up with an enemy that they can put the blame onto. We're sorry that we have to treat you like this, but it's really the fault of Emmanuel Goldstein. Okay? And now we're sorry about the full body x-rays at the airport and the pat down searches and the taxes and the cameras and everything. But really, it's the fault of those gosh darn Muslims. And in Germany, it was like, we're sorry about the Gestapo and the SS and all the papers you got to carry. But really, it's the fault of those Jews. You need to blame them. It's the same dirty trick over and over and over again. And it is insulting that our so-called self-appointed, self-declared leaders think we're stupid enough to fall for it again in this day and age.
Thing they call themselves our leaders, they seem to forget they're supposed to be our representatives.
They're supposed to be our servants, absolutely. And again, you know, we're getting into this issue, who is in charge of this country? And when you see our government very obviously in service to a foreign power, it makes you stand up and realize that we, the American people, have clearly lost control of what is supposed to be our own government. And we have to deal with that reality right now.
Okay, yeah, well, I guess I've covered everything. Thank you very much for letting me get my 2 cents in. Good continuation of the rest of the program.
Okay, well, thank you very much for the phone call. And I know it's a long wire over there to Sweden and everything, and, you know, we're getting these issues taken care of. Alrighty, so getting back to the economy, home sales have plunged 27%. The reason is very simple. The government is having the Federal Reserve, or the Federal Reserve on its own recognizance, is just printing out a bunch of money and throwing it out in circulation to try and keep the economy going. But really, it's just sort of moving the paper around. And there's no new wealth coming into the system. And there will be no new wealth coming into the system until we get our manufacturing back, until we're able to grow a surplus of agricultural products to export to other countries. Without a product to sell, you cannot create wealth. And this idea that we're going to magically create wealth out of nothing by keeping the price of housing high is nonsense. It's wishful thinking. Now, the reason housing prices are so unreachably high, that's intentional. That is intentional. Because if housing were really affordable for everybody, ooh, what fun is that? Property taxes are based on the price of your house, so governments have a vested financial motive to keep housing prices going higher and higher and higher. And if housing was really affordable, if you could buy a house for $5,000 and pay that off in like 3-4 years, well, then you're of no more use to the banks. Banks have no use for houses that cost only $5,000. They can't possibly make enough money off of that. So housing prices are intentionally kept to the point where you can spend your entire lifetime working and slaving to make money to give to the banks to pay off the loan for the house. And for those of you who have a mortgage, little homework assignment, take out the price you paid for your house and then calculate all the payments in your mortgage. You will be shocked at how much money the bank makes off that house sale, even though they didn't build the house. We'll be right back after these words from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey Kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. The online store, it's a featured product.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program, use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And for those of you who are watching on Justin TV, you probably heard John Stedmiller, who's, you know, the big kahuna of Republic Broadcasting, coming on. And basically, we had a little discussion where John does not agree with me about whether or not there are gods or gods out there. And that's okay. We have a First Amendment to cover that. And I want to make something very, very clear here. I don't have a problem with what anybody wants to believe. You know, Zeus, Quetzalcoatl, Ahura Mazda, the Flying Spaghetti Monster, personal favorite of mine. And that's fine. I don't feel a strong need to go in and persuade you, of my particular view of the universe. We may see religious fanatics burn philosophers at the stake. We've never seen a philosopher feel the need to burn a religious person at the stake. It's kind of a one-way little phenomenon there. But I did say something to John that I wanted to repeat to you, because I'm already getting a lot of emails and chats saying, how can you not believe blah, blah, blah? I avoid belief completely, because belief, you know, we're bribed from childhood to allow beliefs to control our mind. You know, believe in the red elf at the North Pole, you get a bicycle. Believe in the bunny, you get chocolate. Believe in the tooth fairy, you get money. We're taught from childhood, we're brainwashed from childhood to allow beliefs to control our thought processes. And when we grow up, we know there really isn't an S-A-N-T-A-C-L-A-U-S up at the North Pole, but we go along with it because we're going to get neckties and cross pens and all the rest of that stuff. And we allow those beliefs to shape our behavior. And those who are in control of those beliefs, whether they're religious or political, are thereby able to control society by manipulating the beliefs. And that's why I try and avoid beliefs. Belief is not a religion. It's the absence of religion. You know, calling atheism a religion is like calling barefoot a type of shoe. It really isn't that way. As for the reason I am satisfied to myself, and you don't have to agree with me, but I'm just going to put this out there for you to think about. If there were a god or gods able to make themselves known to the minds of men, then all of the priests of all of history's religions would at least agree on how many gods there are. This result would have to follow the reality of a god or gods able to make themselves known to the minds of men. But we cannot find it here on earth, anywhere in history. Therefore, gods are not a reality, they are a sociological phenomenon. And the fact that religious belief changes at national borders throughout most of history basically kind of tells you that. And as I was telling John, for me the bottom line is when a believer in a religion holds a knife to the throat of somebody else and demands that they believe as they are told, that to me is a confession of the unreality of their god and their religion. It is merely imposing our form of social control over you as opposed to the other. We're going to convert you from, for example, Muslim to Christianity, not because we really think the God is up there, but because we want your money to go to the Vatican and not to Mecca. It's all about money and control. All right, moving right along here and getting back into the economy, since we're talking about the economics of religion and everything. The Dow Jones Industrial Average briefly dipped into the 9,000s, enough to really get everybody kind of woken up and paying attention to what's going on. Basically, Wall Street has come out with some reports which are not looking very good, and the more Bernanke talks, and I know he's got a big presentation coming up on Friday, the more obvious it becomes they're really not sure how they can turn this around. They've been hyperinflating the dollar. It's starting to catch up with them. And when you have too much money chasing too few goods and services, prices are going to go up. That's what inflation actually comes to. And just pouring money all over the society was not going to be the solution. And the dollar is now starting to drop because the quantitative easing has obviously come and gone without really reigniting the economy, because the money was poured in the wrong direction. It was poured onto Wall Street, which is not a production center. It's a manipulation and control and financial center. It doesn't make products to make money. It made money the product. Where the money should have gone was to the working class of America, because labor precedes capital. We needed to get the factories going again. We needed to bring back the manufacturing. Our government, in its short-sightedness, failed to do that. And we're inheriting that mess right now. Government solution to everything is a bailout. And all a bailout is taking $1 trillion from the American people, give it to the banks to loan back to the American people, except we're not borrowing. We don't know how we're going to pay it back. What we're seeing with all this money being poured into home sales, commercial real estate now, we're seeing that being bailed out, huge $1 trillion bailout there. Functionally, the government is actually buying up the country with printed counterfeit money. And I know a lot of people are screaming about Obama taking us towards socialism. I don't think he is. I think we went past socialism so fast we didn't even have time to wave at it. We went right from capitalism directly into fascism. Now, what is the difference, I hear you ask there at the back of the classroom? And it's very, very simple. Under socialism, profit and loss are socialized across the whole society. Under fascism, profits are kept private, and only the losses are socialized across society. So what you have is, from the point of view of the Republicans, the Democrats are socialists. From the point of view of the Democrats, the Republicans are fascists. Sadly, both of them are correct. We're going to take a break. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And I've, in reference to one of the commercials that you just heard about the importance of independent media, I was watching the corporate media feed coming in here, and the headline stories here at the bottom of the hour is an alligator they found in Chicago, the poor baby whale trapped under the pier in Miami. Actually, my theory is he's just hiding from the oil. Apparently, Paris Hilton had some incident with intruders in her room, and they had a little heart-rending story about a boy who was burned by bullies, and he's coming back from that, and all of this is really very nice. But tell me, out of any of that selection, what of that actually affects your life? And the answer is, unless you're Paris Hilton, it doesn't really. It's just fluff and distraction, because they don't want to talk about certain other things, like the oil disaster that does affect us all, and the economy, and the wars, both existing and pending. And it is one of the reasons why that public trust in the corporate media is in decline, and public trust and viewership and listenership and readership of Republic Broadcasting and what really happened, and all of these, I don't even want to call them alternative media anymore. Citizens media. The citizens media is in ascendancy right now. I don't want to use the word mainstream, because some people are confused what that means, but I think we're becoming the new mainstream here. And that's, of course, thanks to all of you who are tuning in. We're going to go to the phones now. John in Minnesota. Aloha, John. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Michael.
You were talking the other day about corporate personhood and how if corporations are to have the same rights as people, that they should not be allowed to own other corporations.
Under the 13th Amendment.
Right. I just wanted to gauge your understanding of corporate personhood and see how you feel about people actually having corporate personas, you know, like the straw man. Are you familiar with that?
Well, you're talking about like Lonart corporations, the one-person corporations.
Well, like your name in all capital letters that's issued to you by government when you're born and given a birth certificate.
Well, you're not a corporation at that point. You're still considered a citizen, subject to the laws of the United States and hopefully under the protections of the Constitution.
Right, but do you remember recently they found in the Declaration of Independence where subject was replaced with citizen?
Yeah, but the Declaration of Independence is a declaration for the reason for the revolution. It's not considered binding law, and nobody cites it as binding law in a court proceeding. We refer to it as being the soul and purpose of our nation and why we had a revolution, but it's not really considered a legal document.
Can I ask you one more question?
Sure.
Okay. You know your name in all capital letters, how that is not proper English grammar?
Unless you're working on really old computers, yes.
Right. My question is, all of government documentation, driver's license, social security number, anytime you get bills in the mail, everything having to do with commerce has your name in all capital letters, and it's not proper English grammar.
I think that's for readability more than anything else. I don't think there's a significance there. I think it's just a case of readability. And I wouldn't attach too much significance to that.
I would encourage you to research it further yourself.
We'll take a look. Thank you very much for the call. We're going to switch over to Ruth in Illinois. Aloha, Ruth. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, Mike?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Are you aware that people are having difficulty accessing what really happened?
Yeah, it's a DNS problem. There are no bad people out there. It's an engineering goof. We've already fixed it. It's just going to take another day to work through the system, and everything is really fine. I'm healthy. Claire is healthy. The website is actually up and running, and people are getting back into it now. It just takes a while for DNS changes to propagate out there in the world.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, you're welcome, and we're going to switch over to Malcolm in Texas. Aloha, Malcolm. Welcome to the show. What is on your mind?
Aloha, Mike. To everyone out there, just go to whatreallyhappened.org. I just went there. You're up, running. Everything's fine. Well, just wanted to tell you, Mike, we're past John Bolton's deadline. There is no mushroom cloud in Tehran. Jesus has not appeared in Jerusalem. And Elvis does not live in a trailer park in Florida. And if you really believe, oil and vinegar can stick together.
It is amazing. I mean, you look back at all of these dire warnings when they were trying to sell this war with Iran and all the horrible things that are going to work. And now we're past, at least for the moment, the crisis. I mean, they could still do another false flag attack. But looking back, and we're realizing that all of those things they were putting out there in the media are just as silly and nonsensical as the same lies they were telling about Iraq. And now everybody looks back and realizes, oh, there were no weapons of mass destruction. The portable biological weapons labs were just balloon inflators that they got from Britain. And it was just lie after lie after lie, which is why I keep saying it is almost insulting to the American people that the same propagandists are trying to put out the same lies and think that the American people are not going to remember. We have been down this road before.
I agree. Also, one final thing. I'm agreeing with Poker Face. A lot of what's coming out of Israel is nothing more than a bunch of lip service. And I think it's really fair to say that the days of high-volume lip service that Israel gives to our U.S. government in high places is being numbered. Just and conversely, the days of the U.S. government giving lip service in low levels and low areas of Israel's anatomy are also numbered.
Well,
and
you know, the
maybe that's why the Israeli soldiers are now going after Palestinian teenagers, because they're realizing that U.S. congressmen are not so eager now to drop their pants as well as the pages.
All right, we're getting a little more graphic here than I want on this here radio station, but I understand what you're saying, and the bottom line here is, and the reason they're repeating the same lies all over again, our political leadership is still under the control of a bunch of Cold War fossils, guys who became, and women, who became influential and powerful back during the 1950s and the 1960s, and they got used to doing things a certain way because it worked. mostly along the lines of propaganda and media control and putting out the big lie to scare us all into, you know, shoveling our money and our children's lives into whatever war happened to be on the agenda that day. The difference is, this is a whole new world. The citizens' media, the interactive internet, have transformed the very fundamental nature of information flow in our society. And the political leadership is a little slow catching on to that. And if you go back and you study the sociological effects of Gutenberg's movable type, you'll see a lot of parallels where the availability of inexpensive books to the masses just changed the whole world. And some governmental religious institutions eventually caught on, and they did quite well, and they adapted to the new reality that we can't tell quite the same degree of lies we used to. Those institutions that couldn't collapsed, and I think we're going to see the same thing here. Those institutions that are able to adapt to the new reality of not being able to lie to the world to the same extent, they'll evolve and adapt to the new reality, and they'll move forward. Those institutions that cannot evolve to meet the new reality, the new environment, they're doomed to extinction. I think Israel and the U.S. government are on that latter list. They don't seem to be really picking up that the nature of information flow has changed. They're still trying to play the game by the rules that worked in the height of the Cold War. They're going to buy it all up. They're going to bribe people. They're going to threaten people. They're just going to keep on pouring out the same old lies. And they don't understand that it is the people, it's the population that has fundamentally changed, not just the technology and not just the packaging. Anything else, Malcolm? Okay, we're going to switch over to Andrea in Oklahoma. Aloha, Andrea. Welcome to the show. Oh, Andrea has dropped. Oh, my goodness, I bored another one to death. What can I tell you? Alrighty, getting to more domestic things. There is now a nationwide meat recall underway. Zemco Industries in Buffalo, New York has recalled 380,000 pounds of deli meat that apparently is all over the country. It's even out here in Hawaii, contaminated with bacteria that can cause a potentially fatal disease. Okay, so the list is now no Gulf seafood, no eggs, no meat. I think the only thing I've got left in my kitchen is the bottle of scotch, so maybe it's not all bad news. Meanwhile, speaking of the Gulf, as you know, the government and media are still trying to convince everybody that it's okay down there. The crisis is over. Meanwhile, down in Tampa, Florida, apparently people are calling in to the Sarasota Emergency Management Department reporting new oil spills all over the area waters and the beaches, and the government is basically saying, oh, we're sure there's some other explanation for that. It can't be oil, because Obama has already told us it's all, you know, it's all cleaned up, and 75% of the oil is gone. Now, what's interesting, you need to understand, NOAA has officially retracted that claim that 75% of the oil in the Gulf is evaporated, burned off, skimmed off, and gone. They have reversed themselves, and they are now in agreement with the University of South Florida, the University of Georgia, and the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution, that about 80 to 85% of all the oil that leaked out of those wells is still there in the Gulf. It may be submerged, it may be buried, but it's still definitely there. Now, meanwhile, the Environmental Protection Agency has been measuring hydrogen sulfide in the air over the Gulf. It's increased by 800%. Near Louisiana, since the well was supposedly capped on July 15th. So something is down there, is still putting out hydrogen sulfide. Now, hydrogen sulfide is toxic, but it's also very smelly. It's that rotten egg smell. It's what they put into natural gas to let you know there's a leak, because natural gas by itself doesn't have that. Can you imagine that being your job? You go to school and you get a chemistry degree, and you get hired by the gas company to put the stinky stuff in natural gas. Not exactly going to work, you know, as a pickup line in the bar. You know, what do you do for a job? Well, I put the smelly stuff in gas. Not going to impress anybody. But they do that. So if you're smelling that rotten egg smell, you're aware that there's a hazard. Methane is odorless, colorless, and tasteless. Meanwhile, what we're hearing from the Gulf area, as British Petroleum tries to redefine who does and does not get financial assistance, the area homeless shelters are filling up with men who've basically lost their jobs, their livelihood. They're out of work because of the spill. And charities are strained to the maximum. They're running out of money for families who are coming to them for food and assistance, because even those fishermen who are going into the newly reopened fishing grounds, they're not finding anything. They're coming back with with hardly anything in their nets, and they're having to basically throw away anything they suspect might be tainted, because under the agreement by which they're allowed to go back to fishing, they are assuming all legal and financial liability for toxic effects of the seafood they're bringing to market. They're having to indemnify the U.S. government. They're having to indemnify British Petroleum. These people are in a world of hurt. You think your life is in trouble? Those people down in the Gulf, I mean, Katrina, the collapse of the flooding infrastructure, and now this whole disaster, all being allowed to happen by a government that's just completely unconcerned. Meanwhile, we're seeing more and more indications that the formation, which is the oil company insider talk for the geology surrounding the wells, are severely fractured, probably from over attempts at the what was called the top kill, where they pumped all this mud down into the well under high pressure. Even though they suspected the drill pipe in the well casing was broken and the mud was not going down into the well, it was going out into the surrounding rock. Now, sometimes oil companies will do that intentionally, and they call it fracking. And the idea is we're going to go and bust up the geology, and the oil that's in there will flow more readily into our pipe to suck it up and put it into the refinery. And it's a very, very dangerous process. It has, in some times past, been attributed for triggering minor earthquakes. So they've been pumping all this drilling mud down into the well, out the broken safety equipment 1,000 feet down, from the top of ocean floor of Well B, the wellhead. And now they're saying that this formation may be so fractured and so much oil and gas is coming up from the well through these fissures to the seafloor that the leak is going to go on for years. It may not be coming out of the wells, but they've fractured the seafloor. And we have seen on the ROV videos on YouTube where we're still seeing clouds of methane and oil coming up from these fissures on the seabed floor. We know that Woods Hole Oceanographic has confirmed the existence of an oil plume 3,000 feet down, the size of Manhattan Island. We have no way of knowing if that has simply remained there since July 15th, or if in point of fact, the source of these new underwater plumes is an ongoing fissure in the Gulf floor. We don't know, and nobody wants to find out, and nobody wants to say anything. I mean, NOAA the other day was admitting they're not even trying to measure methane because there's nothing they can do about it. If we can't solve the problem, the public doesn't need to know it's there, is the mentality. This is America's Chernobyl, and we're not being given the straight information by the government and the corporate media. And for those of you down on the Gulf, I mean, now that they're saying it's all better, go down there with your camcorders and find out. We've got videos at whatreallyhappened.com where people are going down, digging in the beach sand, and they're hitting the oil. It is still there. It's just been covered over. Prince William Sound up in Alaska, where the Exxon Valdez accident happened, if you go up there and you start digging along the shoreline, you will find oil. It is still there. These disasters never go away. And it's going to be impacting the Gulf area for a decade. And it's going to be impacting our food supply, not just from the Gulf seafood, but along the Atlantic seaboard. We're seeing all these massive fish kills all the way up to Massachusetts. And as I said before the other day, the weather, the rain that falls all over the Great Plains breadbasket comes from clouds that form over the Gulf of Mexico and are then blown north. Got another hurricane coming in, going to accelerate that process. And we've already had reports of oil-tainted rain coming down across Florida, up in Georgia, Louisiana, up as far as Nebraska. The stuff is coming down on our food. And Obama wants you to think that this is not an issue because he doesn't want to take it into the November election. He's willing to let Americans eat toxic, tainted seafood for the sake of a few more votes in November. That's a little sick, if you ask me. That's a little bit sick there. All righty. When we come back, we're coming up on the end of a break here, and when we come back, the next two segments and going into the next hour, I want to talk about the security industrial complex. You've already heard of the military industrial complex. President Eisenhower warned us all about it in his farewell address as President of the United States, and foolishly, we didn't listen. And he was right. We have had this partnership between the defense industries and the military just soaking the American people for all the money they can. We have a completely out-of-control military budget. We spend more on the machinery of death than any other country on earth. We spend more on the machinery of death than the next 10 countries put together. It is an obscene amount of money put out there for the destruction of our fellow human being. Now the focus is shifting to the security industrial complex. And we're seeing the results. We'll talk about it when I come back.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of micro plant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, Microplant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Don't answer it!
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, Help, I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up, protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now 1-800-410-0739. 1-800-410-0739. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0739.
Spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And, just responding to chat and email and everybody saying all the website's down and, you know, your volume levels are blah, 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 blah. And, you know, we're going to work these things out over the next couple of days. None of this stuff happens, you know, overnight here. And, everybody's doing a wonderful job. Manny's in our control room today and answering the phones. And by the way, the number is 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. 9443, and so if you want to call in. Now, I was talking about the security industrial complex, and the jumping off point is Eisenhower's military industrial complex. And Eisenhower was trying to make public something that he had realized when he was president, and that was that this incredibly huge and powerful and wealthy armaments industry that had been created to serve the United States during World War II had no desire to scale down, to go away. And it had become a threat to America's democratic processes. That's what Eisenhower warned us about. And so we had this large body of politicians who were connected to the defense industries and the defense industries themselves and the military who had motivations to keep the United States in a permanent state of war. They didn't want to give up those fancy uniforms with all the ribbons and brass buttons. And if you don't have a nuclear weapon sitting behind you, those uniforms look pretty garish and silly. But if you've got a bomb next to you and everybody goes, ooh, general. And so we had this large section of the population that wanted more war. And we came right out of World War II. And the first thing they did is they went right back out to Hollywood. And they told all those filmmakers, look, you did a really good job making all these movies that bash the Germans and bash the Japanese. And now we need you to make wars and make movies that make the Russians look bad, make the commies look bad. And the people in Hollywood said, why would you want to do that? They helped us defeat Hitler. And the military-industrial complex said, oh, but we've got to have a Cold War, you know, and nobody's really going to die. And the weapons that we buy and build don't even have to really work because they're never going to be used. But we're just going to go on building and stockpiling and spending all this wonderful little tax money on all of this, you know, this little game playing for this Cold War. And so you've got to make movies that make the commies a big scary threat so the American people will shovel their money at us as fast as they can. And sadly, many of the people in Hollywood went along with it. You know, job is a job is a job. Yeah, we'll make movies that bash the commies. To their credit, quite a few people in Hollywood did not. They said, no, we're not going to use our power and influence to demonize the nation that helped us in World War II defeat Adolf Hitler. And so the military-industrial complex, in the person of Joseph McCarthy and J. Edgar Hoover, launched the House Committee on Un-American Activities, and every filmmaker in Hollywood who dared stand up to the war machine and say, I'm not going to help you sell another war, was called a communist sympathizer, and they were dragged before the committee. 400 careers were ruined, bunch of arrests, at least one known suicide. Some of the biggest names in Hollywood, like Edward G. Robinson, their careers were destroyed for years. Some of them never even, you know, came back. And there's actually an article about it at whatreallyhappened.com up at the top. It's called The New McCarthyism, and you may want to look at that. And the reason I bring it up is we're in the same situation again. We have the defense contractors and now the security contractors trying to just create this constant state of worry and fear, and we're going to be afraid of everybody, and we're going to sell you the solution. When we come back in the next hour, I'm going to continue on this topic. Stay tuned, and aloha.
With recent internet